Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. I'm your host this week, David Robbins, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. In IT Modernization Centers of Excellence news, on March 14th, GSA announced it had kicked off the IT Modernization Centers of Excellence program by awarding 5 contracts to tackle distinct tasks for the first lighthouse agency, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Centers of Excellence program is an integral part of the Trump administration's government-wide IT modernization plans and stems from a recently announced collaboration between GSA and the Office of American Innovation designed to introduce cutting-edge ideas and technologies to improve agency performance in areas like cloud and customer service. Each Center of Excellence will begin with an assessment and planning phase, resulting in the development of a roadmap that will allow for the successful implementation of managing centralized, function-specific talent solutions and acquisitions of vehicles. They are expected to provide for documented and scalable best practices that can be rapidly spread to and adopted by other agencies throughout the government. Each of GSA's 5 awards correspond with a specific Center of Excellence within the USDA: cloud adoption, IT infrastructure optimization, customer experience, contact center, and service delivery analytics, and will provide consulting and information technology engineering services for the planning and organization phase of the initiative. In tariff news, on March 19th, the Commerce Department issued an interim final rule establishing the process for requesting exclusions from the new imported steel and aluminum tariffs and for making objections to such requests. Under the interim final rule, all exclusion requests and objections to submitted exclusion requests will be made public, and after a period of review, the government will post a single response indicating whether the request has been granted. Approved exclusions will be made on a product basis and will be limited to the individual or organization that submitted the request unless the Commerce Department specifically approves applications to other importers. Commerce Department has published instructions on the exclusion request process and how to file exclusion objections on the web pages at the Commerce Department focused on steel and focused on aluminum. You can find more there, or we'll be happy to point you in the right direction. All right, a brief CFIUS note. It should come as no surprise to those watching the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States that GAO issued a report highlighting the increased workload of CFIUS and some staffing concerns. They highlighted the need to assess manpower in order to better handle that workload. It'll be interesting to see what results from that effort. Moving on to OFCCP news, this change affects nearly every contractor, just given the scope and breadth of OFCCP reviews. In very late February, OFCCP issued Directive 2018-01, instructing all OFCCP offices to issue a predetermination notice prior to issuing a notice of violation. Pre-decision notice is a letter that OFCCP uses to inform contractors of its preliminary findings of employment discrimination and provides contractors with an opportunity to respond. Prior to this directive, OFCCP reserved the use of a pre-decision notice for systematic discrimination cases and permitted regional and district offices discretion in using pre-decision notices prior to a notice of violation. This meant that contractors were often uncertain whether they would have notice of OFCCP's preliminary findings before any formal allegations of discrimination were issued. Now, compliance officers must issue a pre-decision notice prior to issuing a notice of violation and give the contractor 15 days to respond to the preliminary findings. The directive also requires that the appropriate regional office of the solicitor must review pre-decision notices before they can be submitted to OFCCP's national office for review and a final decision on issuance. The directive is part of OFCCP's efforts to ensure consistency across regional and district offices and to increase transparency with contractors. Now, moving over to Escobar news, and as a sort of preliminary note, sometimes it can be really hard to have a podcast. Just wait till I try to read the name of this case, and you'll know what I mean, but it's worth talking about, so I'm going to do my best. Bear with me. On March 9th, 2018, in U.S. ex rel, oh boy, Schimmelpfennig, Schimmelpfennig, I wish you better luck than I had in pronouncing it, versus Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited et al., a district judge in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, dismissed a False Claims Act suit, alleging that the defendant pharmaceutical company sold prescription drugs, submitted false claims because the packaging had not been tested in accordance with federal requirements for child safety. the court dismissed the third amended complaint with prejudice after finding that, despite court-granted opportunity to resolve pleading deficiencies, the relators still failed to plead evidence that compliance with federal packaging requirements was material to the government's payment decision. The decision is just another example of a court implementing the Supreme Court's guidance from the landmark U.S. ex rel. Escobar decision to enforce the materiality standards even on motions to dismiss. All right, I guess as a last item and for our government acquisition community listeners, on March 3rd, the Director of Defense Pricing and Defense Procurement Acquisition Policy issued a memorandum regarding an update to contract payment instructions. Going forward, the memorandum instructs that when payment instructions are required, the contract officer must insert either the entire table at PGI 204.7108B2 or a link to the payment instructions table. A CO may, however, substitute other payment instructions if none of the instructions in the table are appropriate, and alternative instructions would better reflect how funds will be expended in support of contract performance. I know that's a mouthful, but we do have a number of government listeners, and we thought we should put that in because it seems to be an interesting change that might be fairly relevant to your jobs. All right. And as since we launched our podcast nearly 2 years ago, in that time, a number of other podcasts have sprung up in the government contracts industry, attesting to the utility of the platform. We're delighted to have you as listeners, but we're also super pleased to plug our colleagues' bid protest-focused podcast called All Things Protest. And we'll have another few focused on different areas of government contracting coming up in the coming weeks. We'll let you know about those too as they arise. And that's it for this edition. See you again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, give me a call if you need anything. 202-624-2627. Have a good week.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.